As a non-commercial educational radio station, KZSC supports the free expression of ideas. Please be aware that the opinions expressed are those of the speakers or artists only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the UC Regents, KZSC staff, management, or underwriters. We welcome your feedback on our programming. Please direct your comments to the Program Review Committee at 831-459-4726 or by email at prc@kzsc.org. Coming up right now is an interview with Lady Ray with me, DJ Futterstomp, and DJ Shove It. The interview talks about Lady Ray's upcoming tour here in Santa Cruz at Roaring Camp Railroads in Felton. Talks about her musical journey, different albums she's worked on, and so much more. If you're unable to catch the whole interview live right now, you can listen to it on our website at kzsc.org.
Hi, I'm DJ Shove It, and I'm here with DJ Futterstomp talking to Lady Ray here on KZSC Santa Cruz 88.1 FM. We're so excited to talk to you. I don't know if your managers told you, but I emailed them over a year ago asking if you were doing promo, and they said no. And then I saw that you were coming to Roaring Camp Railroads on June 25th, which is so close. It's in Felton, so close to Santa Cruz. And I knew I had to reach out again. So I'm really glad that we were able to set this up.
I'm so happy too. I'm so happy to get back into doing interviews. I took a break for a little minute. The album came out top of last year, so I kind of just been home and being a mommy, and I've been touring and stuff, but I haven't really been doing that many interviews. So I was saying, like, kind of get back into the groove of Zoom.
Don't worry about it.
So how are you
Okay.
feeling about the tour? The lineup you guys have is amazing. We actually have it's really cool to be interviewing you too. Obviously because it's just cool to be interviewing you, but also because we've interviewed Tropa Mágica and then also The Sacred Souls. So it's cool to like have had a chance to talk to all the people. How do you feel about the tour and the Abba
I'm
Zaba?
so excited about this summer tour. I'm so excited. I love the summer. I love the summer and the spring. Winter and fall is kind of gritty out there on the road. It's cold, it's weird, you get sick, and with the whole COVID thing, I'm kind of glad that the warmth is here now, and to be able to be on the stage with these awesome acts. I'm excited to see Sacred Souls. I just love their energy, their sound. It's so rustic. I'm hoping, looking forward to meeting them as well. And then my summer tour, it starts in August with a Brain Story, my label mate. I'm super excited. We're heading to California. We're going to Portland, Seattle, Boise, Idaho, Phoenix, Arizona. And then we're doing a showcase in California for the whole label. So, and this is going to be my first showcase with the label, with my label mate. So it's going to be very exciting.
That's gonna be so cool. I did see the show for the showcase and I can't make it. I'm so sad.
Oh,
Yeah.
we're gonna turn up for you. Don't worry, we'll turn up for you.
Yeah, put a video out there or something and I'll watch it after.
And so
Yes, we will.
just out of curiosity, is this as a part of Big Crown Records? Is that
Yes,
okay,
that's
cool.
is a label I've been signed to for a few years now. I put out my first album with Terry Walker. She and I, she's from London. We did like a duet album. It was really cool, really retro. We had a lot of fun. She's from London, I'm from the States, and she worked with a lot of people that I worked with years ago, and we kind of just connected in New York years ago. And we had a great time just hanging out and doing music. And the guys, that's where I met at the time Leon. It was Truth and Soul Records with Lee Fields. And they asked me to come on and do some writing for Lee Fields. And then Terry and I, we did an album. And then she went back to do her thing. I went back to do my thing. And I did a Queen Alone album and now Piece of Me. So yeah, the label's been, they've been very great to me. I'm just so excited to have, a group of guys that believe in me and want to be consistent with me. I know you guys know my journey. And it hasn't been the funnest, but it's my journey, and I'm proud of my journey. But this label, they're like family to me. They're like brothers from another mother, and they really believed in me from the beginning. And so when I want to be creative, they let me go in and be creative, write. My family's involved. My husband helped me write some of the songs off the album. It's just like a family-oriented label, and I really enjoy working with them. And the artists on the label are amazing as well. They're like a Brain Story, they're like my brothers, like I can call on them for anything and they'll be right there. So I'm super excited to be playing with them this August.
Yeah, I know that you kind of started, especially in the music scene, playing or singing with Missy Elliott. And I know that it was
Yeah.
probably kind of crazy building your own voice while collaborating with someone who's so well known. If you want to talk a little bit about that process or maybe the things that you've enjoyed most about building your own voice, and it seems like you are really enjoying collaborating with other artists and kind of finding your own music process on your on Big Crown Records. But yeah, what has that process been like of kind of finding yourself as a musician and showcasing the way that you want to sing and the way that you enjoy putting that out there?
Well, for everybody that is not familiar with my journey, I started with Missy Elliott when I was about 17 years old. She signed me to her record label in 1998. It was Goldmine slash Elektra Records. And I was a kid, I was fresh out of school. She kind of took me under her wing. And like you said, I mean, Missy was a big deal, and everybody trusted her. And we just honored her here in Atlanta. And I know one thing that she said, thank you guys for trusting in me and believing in me. And I feel the same way. I thank her for trusting in me and believing in me. But everybody like just let her just take them under the wing and write their songs, and it became phenomenal. And she's a true legend. And trying to find my voice after trying to find my voice after all those years, it wasn't hard because I kind of started in church. They always was in church and singing in the choir. And singing in school and things of that nature. So I always build up my confidence to perform in front of people. It was just, you take certain things from people. Missy is a genius. She's talented. And I learned a lot of like things from her. She would say, you got to get in the mirror and practice your songs with a hairbrush. And I didn't know what that meant. I would go in the mirror and sing my songs. And she was like, you have to dress to impress. And I didn't know all of those things. I was a kid. But the voice and the confidence always was there. And now I'm able to work with like live instrumentation, live bass and drums. And I wasn't able to do that years ago. So finding my voice, that was pretty easy. It's just getting out underneath somebody that's so huge that could have been my problem. For people, the fans that didn't know what happened to me. It's just being a young artist and having such a big artist that you look after, and then they go into another direction, and you're kind of trying to figure out your way. But I found my way, and I'm thankful that I'm still able to stand and do music and put out some stuff that people are able to relate to,
Yeah, and that's really amazing to hear. And I also just curious too, like, given where you're at now with kind of this amazing, like, I don't know if like retro soul is the right word to call it, but just kind of this sound that you found and going, back to those years with Missy Elliott in your early years with like Make It Hot.
Right.
How has it felt, kind of, as you're saying, finding your own voice, but how has it felt to like kind of reinvent the wheel in terms of that? Or was the sound you're working with now kind of a sound that you always imagined yourself finding, or kind of come through years and trial and error and stuff? I'm curious kind of how that's gone.
Wow, how does it feel to reinvent the wheel? I just think over the years, like I said, I was a kid, so I grew up. So, and I'm a mother now, I'm a wife. So, the topics and everything is going to change. Life has totally, my world had changed when I had my job, when I had my daughter. So, topics are going to be different. I'm a grown up now, so the voice has changed. It's very mature. I think I've always, like I said, I came up in church, so I always had like a choir sound and the big sound. I think I've always wanted to like venture off into that. So when I work with the Black Keys, they open up the whole portal for me to kind of get back into that sound. And I'm so thankful that they wanted to work with me on the Brothers album. They asked me to come down to Alabama, and I was like, hell yeah, I'm coming down there. Yes, the Black Rock Project too with Damon Dash. So I think finding reinventing the sound was something that was inevitable, I think it was going to happen eventually, being such a kid and being growing up and being an adult and having adult things to talk about and life changing and the world being the way that it is. And we all had this whole pandemic thing. So I was able to touch on topics that everybody was vulnerable and they felt like, they can connect and relate to it. So I think reinventing myself, like I said, was inevitable. It was something that was gonna happen eventually,
Yeah, totally. And you've done it in such an amazing way to kind of be able to see that progression through your music. And as I was just showing, so we I found this a while ago for listeners. This is in our library. This is Black Rock, which was, I believe, a collaboration between the Black Keys and then a bunch of different artists on, was it Def Jam?
It was Def Jam and just artists all over, legends,
Yeah.
just legends in the game. Damon Dash orchestrated that phenomenal album. And that's when I first ran into Black Keys in New York. Damon Dash asked me to come down. He said, I got these phenomenal guys from Akron, Ohio that you're gonna love, and they want to work with you. And I was like, okay. And I flew down to New York and I met the guys. But he played some songs for me before I even met them, and I thought they were Black guys. I didn't. And when I met, I was like, oh my goodness, you guys are so freaking soulful. I mean, Dan, It's so soulful, and Pat on the drum, the percussions, amazing. And they wanted to continue that outside of that and work with me more. And I just thought, you know, coming in the game, a lot of people would say I wasn't a star, and I wasn't this, I wasn't this, and I wasn't that. But when I got the opportunity to work with those guys, they like really let me know that I was talented and that I was worth it, and I really appreciate it. And working with them in that, and Muscle, we went to Muscle shows. It's like a old studio that a lot of older artists worked in years ago. It was like a creepy museum studio, and they opened it back up, and it was amazing. I'll never forget the experience. And I'm just thankful to be able to coexist with artists like Black Keys, because they're new. I've been around for decades, and they're not new, but they're new to me. And for them to want to work hand in hand with me and find that I'm talented and I can, you know, rock just like they can, I thought that was awesome. So yeah.
It's so cool to see like the timeline of your growth as an artist, especially in collaboration with other artists. Like when DJ Futterstomp found this album, it says you're listed as Nicole Ray, and I know you also have music out as just Nicole.
Right.
And so he didn't realize it was you, and he was like, "This sounds so familiar."
I heard it. I was actually listening to it completely randomly, just testing out some equipment. And I'm looking at all the names. I'm seeing ODB and Ludacris and Mos Def. And then I see Nicole Ray and I'm listening and I'm like, I recognize that voice. Why do I recognize that voice so much?
Right.
So for all these other artists that Mos Def and Raekwon, I mean, the lineup is insane. Did they reach out to all of you guys individually? Was that already an established group? Like, what was the kind of synthesis of that?
Oh, you mean for the Black Rock Project?
Yeah, like all the
Yeah,
different pieces.
Damon Dash. You know what? I think it was Dan and Patrick. They had a love for hip hop, and they went to Damon and they asked him, "Yo, we want to work with these legends." And Damon just called up everybody. Raekwon, he called up Q-Tip, he called up Ghostface. I mean, he called up so many people on his album just for the guys. And I mean, I saw them coming in and out of the door, in and out of the door, recording. And for me, I'm a huge hip hop fan as well. So, and a lot of those artists, even though I've been out for many years, I have never met those artists like Q-Tip. And so, meeting Q-Tip was like, it was awesome. He was just so humble and so just a genius, and it's like effortlessly, you know. And the guys of the Black Keys, they really wanted to work with these, and Damon Dash made it happen. And then every song just sounded so perfect. It just sounded, it was just easy. It was easy. It was easy. That's all I can say. It wasn't hard like back in the day. Like back in the day, I would be in the studio. They would make you sing the song over and over. And if you didn't learn it, you have to take it home, study it, then come back to the studio and prove that you knew the record. You know, and I wasn't writing back then. So you would get somebody lyrics, you would get the lyrics, and you have to go home and practice it. And you better come back to that studio singing this song right, you know? So, but working with the Black Keys and Damon Dash and all those guys, it was easy. It was so much fun. We had like Jack Daniels. I think it was my first time having Bullet Bourbon in the studio. It was a beautiful time. I'll never forget that. I'm grateful.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also
And
kind of
I love your DJ name.
That's
It's so cool. I'm gonna
silly.
ask you some questions in a minute.
Yeah, you're welcome to.
I'm so
Yeah.
Well, this is somewhat separate of a question, but do you have an idea of what your DJ name would be?
Or do you have a
Or do
DJ
you
name?
have a
Have you
DJ?
DJed any?
Probably DJ Coco. That's my nickname. Yeah. I've been called Coco my whole life, so it'll probably be DJ Coco or DJ Mickey Mouse.
I
My
love
aunt used to call me
that.
Mickey Mouse because when I was little, my mom used to wash my hair and put it in two Afro puffs and send me outside for the sun to dry it. And it had the Mickey Mouse puff. So it would probably be DJ Mickey Mouse or DJ Coco.
You should totally just reinvent yourself again. What
I
kind
love
of
Right.
DJ era, start mixing.
Right. That would be fun. That might be next on the list.
Yeah, you're invited for a guest slot if you ever want to try on KZSC.
Okay, awesome. That would be rad.
How did you kind of in choosing like a DJ name, or also just like the name that you wanted to release music under, how did you kind of get to Lady Ray instead of using, your name Nicole? And obviously you still have that personal connection with your last name, but what kind of led you to to where you are now?
Wow, what led me to the name Lady Ray? Like I said, I did an album with Terry Walker, and it was a duet album, and we were called Lady. And so when she dropped off, I stayed on, and I just added my last name to it, Lady Ray, so people can be familiar and still realize that it's me, you know. So I just tagged my last name onto Lady. We were Lady, and I just added Ray to the end of Lady, and it's been phenomenal ever since. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
That it wasn't a hard transition. I just tagged Lady. I just tagged Ray onto the end of it and kept it moving.
Totally.
Yeah.
And kind of, I know that you were talking a little bit more about, like, obviously we're talking about the way your image as a musician and like your songwriting process has continued, and you were talking about, becoming a mother, becoming a wife, and I love the song Melody off of the album Piece of Me. That's your daughter's name, right?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and I saw like when you opened NPR Black History Month Tiny Desk, which was also a phenomenal performance. I was so excited to see that. And I was like,
Thank you.
it's too big for a college radio interview, but but I was glad that we made it happen anyway.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, like I love how in the original song, like you have this little moment where I think it's probably Melody who sings something. We have like a kids radio show on KZSC, and I've played that song on it before, just because
Aww.
it's so, sweet to like, I love when people actually have like children sing on a song, but I think it's extra special because this is, your child and the song is kind of dedicated to her. So I was kind of wondering, like, just because that song is so heartfelt and I can tell that as someone who's listening to it, what was that like songwriting process for something that was so personal for you?
Wow, that's the songwriting process for that song Melody and the whole album itself. You have to remember, I had just had my child when we started working. Well, I was pregnant with Melody when we first started working on Piece of Me album. And then I gave birth to her and I had to go back up to New York without her. And she was home with her dad. And I'm a new mom and I'm like, I don't want to be without my child, but I have to get the album done, you know? And so I was just missing her. And then on the second leg, she was already born and we brought her to New York. And so she was walking and talking at that time. That's how long it took to get this album together. So she was in my belly. I left and went and started working on the album. And then she was born. And then we brought her back to New York to hang out with Leon, L. Michaels, and his children. And she was in the studio. And it just felt so great to me because it's always in my career, I would see people in the airport with their families, and I was always in the airport by alone. I wasn't married, and I don't even know if I was dating. I just always wanted that for my career, like to be married, to have a child, to be able to have my child at my show, my husband. And so God blessed me with that. And so I was very vulnerable when I wrote that song, Melody, and to have her in that room with me, because she gave me all of that energy and all the excitement that I had working on the album. She was in my belly when I was writing that album. So I dedicate that album to her because when they asked me to work on the album, I was nervous. I didn't know what to do because I was pregnant. And I was like, I don't know if I can bring that same energy that I brought, with the Queen Alone album because I was pregnant. I wasn't, I didn't, not to say that I wasn't having fun, but a pregnant mom, you're just being a pregnant mom, So I was kind of somewhat, just hormones all over the place. But she guided me. Her little mind and body and spirit inside of me guided me to be strong to write this album. And when I hear people at my shows at the merch table and talking to me, they're like, your song Melody, it just touched my life. And I didn't know that that song would touch. I thought, Piece of Me touched lives too, but Melody, I didn't think that that would be the song that people would just be overwhelmed and just feel so grateful about. And I just owe it to her because she gave me that confidence and all of that love that I did not know that I had inside of me. And so that was the process behind that.
It's such a gorgeous song. The first time I also just the entire album, it's so like heartfelt and just it's really
Thank you.
amazing to hear kind of where that was coming from in your life because it makes a lot
Yeah.
of sense. It feels like it's just so like warm and genuine and loving and that song in particular. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, oh my
Ah,
god, cry.
thank you. And my
Really
husband and I,
sweet.
we got married in the middle of a pandemic. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And we went to the courthouse. I had like a diaper on my face because I didn't know. I didn't have any mask. I had my daughter. She had a little teeny little diaper, and I had a diaper and a bandana wrapped around my face, going over my bowels. It was hilarious. When I
That's
look back at the
hilarious.
video, yeah. And so it just this step by step of creating the album was, I was very vulnerable and had a lot of hormones. And I'm thankful that my husband was there with me at the time too. He helped a lot. He knows my life. He knows my story. And he's a writer. He's an artist as well. He's an actor, artist, writer, rapper. And we're working on something really phenomenal, a cartoon that we're working on right now. So,
Oh.
just to have him involved in my career, I never thought that I would ever be able to do that. I've seen other artists and it just didn't work out, and I just think that our match that we have and our the connection that we have as a couple before we were married, the friendship that we had, It just bleeds into the music and everything that we do. I help him out. He just released his album on Spotify. It's called You. It's amazing. I helped him out. And he helped me out on my album. And my daughter, she wants to get in the studio and sing. So we're like a little small, little trying to create a Jackson 5 over here.
Oh, that's so sweet.
What's your
Yeah.
husband's musical like name, like
Oh,
persona?
his name is Dante. Is
Okay.
Dante Bacot. It's his real name. Yep.
Cool. Let me check
Yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
Is it mainly
Yeah.
you said like hip hop, or is it also have a lot
It's
of
kind of like hip hop with R&B flares.
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you say that you were working on a cartoon together?
Yeah, we are. We are. I can't say too much about it, but yeah, we are working on a
Okay,
cartoon.
no
It's gonna
comment,
for
but we'll keep an eye out.
Yes, please. It'd be on Adult Swim, so it's gonna be for
Oh.
adults. So we're working on that, and it's very exciting. It's gonna blow people's minds. It's hilarious. That's all I know.
Just watching. Oh,
Oh,
sorry.
sorry.
I was just like just read. I was just watching Samurai Jack last night, which is on Adult.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. I love
Yeah.
it. Yeah, that's our show, right? We love Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like
Yep.
it's so cool to. This is what I love about interviews, but I feel like with your music, kind of in particular, like it's so cool to see where you're coming from with all this and your thoughts, the process, the development of your personal life and how that kind of connects with your music. Because, hearing you talk about Piece of Me being dedicated to like this new chapter of your life or is so sentimental, and I can see how, I know you grew up in Salinas, but kind of mostly saying probably in Virginia where you really moved to.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
like seeing the way that your church choir kind of develops your personal kind of singing voice, but also the way that you collaborate with other artists, and then also the way that you've kind of continued that collaboration in your personal life and with other people on the label. It's just really cool to see and to realize how albums that mean a lot to people who listen to them, just as like people who listen to music, like we all are, also mean so much to the artists who like create that and put so much effort.
Exactly. Yeah, I think collaborating is the biggest thing that artists can do because, like you said, you're picking up on different vibrations, and then when it all comes together and gels, you got your values, and you put it all together, and it just makes the world really go around because we're all really the same when you look at it. We're all the same. We've all been through the same crap, and we all came out on top. And so to collab in this music business, I think a lot of artists wasn't doing it that much back in the 90s when I was coming out, but now I love to see like Cardi B working with Glorilla, and yeah, I just like to see like artists collabing together. It's beautiful to see them having a good time and sharing different views and putting it together on a song. And what else better than to have your husband, somebody that's or your significant other that knows you the best is gonna pull out the best out of you, because you're gonna. It's like being in the gym. You don't want to really run for an hour. But if you got somebody in there saying, you can go, you can do it, you can do it, you're like, I'm done. I did my little session and now I can go and eat a burger, And
Yeah.
that's how I look at life. You have somebody egging you, pushing you to your goal. And that's how I feel about collaborating. Even with my label, just collaborating with them and knowing that they want all of us to collaborate together and work together and do shows together. It's just a beautiful thing to me.
And speaking of collaborations, I really one song that both me and DJ Sheva really like is "Tonight You Might" with Cynthia, which is such a like amazing collaboration, because it's exactly what you're saying, where like it your sound is so there, but it's also a little more dancey and a little more like
Yeah.
up tempo.
You
And then
can hear it. You can hear the
yeah, and
collaborations.
then
Yeah.
most recently I saw you did a remix of "Piece of Me" with Ghostface, which is just a really cool, like those are both so different but also work, and I love the range that you have there with that.
Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of Wu-Tang, and I've been saying ever since I was signed to Rockefeller Records in 2004, I was saying I want Ghostface Killah on a song, and I kept asking everybody, Ghostface, RZA, please, and they were ignoring me. I was like, what are you guys not hearing? I am a Wu-Tang fan clan, and I was telling Danny at the label, if we can pull this off, and it's so crazy because we didn't even reach out, he reached out to us.
Oh,
And
really?
I almost lost my mind. I've been listening to them since the early 90s. My brother put me onto the Wu-Tang Clan, and I was a huge fan of Ghostface. And to hear his lyrics, I just passed out. I was like, I love it. I was so in love, and I was just so amazed that, 360, it came all the way back around all these years, and I manifested it. I just manifested that, to be honest. You never know what you say something, and you might not get it when you want it. You
Yeah.
just got to be careful how you ask for it, because it's gonna come. You have to say it the way you want it. And I think I've been saying it the way I want it, and it happens.
That's how we feel
It
interviewing you. Like, you're
just
our ghost face, and we're like, we wanted it. Asking finally, like,
Yes.
and we're like, we gotta make it
Woo-hoo.
happen. But that's so
Yes.
cool that, you know, that that's something
Yeah.
that you had been kind of aiming for so long, and to also be validated with knowing that someone who you recognize as so prolific and talented sees that about
Right.
you. I'm sure it's really rewarding.
Yes. It's very rewarding to me. Like I said, I almost passed out when he reached out to us and said he was a fan of the album and A Piece of Me. And I was like, excuse me? Like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, so the manifestation is real.
Did he just super curious, did he reach out like already wanting to work on that particular song or with like a
That
verse
particular
already, or
yeah, it was that particular song. That's the
okay.
one he wanted. Yeah.
That's so
Yeah. And so
cool.
we're talking about a video. He wants to do a video now. So we're trying to figure this out. You're doing, you know, touring in the summertime and all the festivals that are coming. We just got to figure out. It may be in during the winter or fall. So we're trying to figure it out now.
That's amazing. As a fellow like Ghostface fan, and also just Wu-Tang, GZA came to Santa Cruz and did like
Nice.
performed all of Liquid Swords at the Catalyst.
Oh my
And
goodness.
before he performed, he did a chess boxing. Like you could play him in chess if you paid like
What?
$20 extra, and you could like play him
Yeah.
before the show because he's like,
Oh yeah. He loves the chess.
yeah.
Yes,
But that
yes,
was really, really cool to see, and
yes.
just
Yeah, that's
the fact that they're
awesome.
still doing collaborations with people like different members, and I know Rizzo
I
was
love it.
something, and it's really
Yeah, I love it. Love it, love it. I think Rihanna named her a new son RZA,
really
which is so cool. Yeah. And I think SZA kind of went off for that name. It's just he's just phenomenal. He's a genius. Always will be a legend in the game. You know, I don't know if there's ever been a group that, you know, monumental to hip hop that was that large, you know, from New York. Maybe back in the 80s, the Juice Crew. What's it? I think it's the Juice Crew. I don't know. But I think those guys are phenomenal. And then just the lyrics, just the stuff that they say is mind-blowing. And Wu-Tang is for the kids, baby.
And just their whole persona, all of the swords and the boxes and
The samurai, the
the
samurai.
sandals.
Yes,
It's just
I
so
love it.
such a kind of
It's genius. It's just genius. I've never seen it before, and to come up with in that era, it's just amazing. I came up in that era, so I got the swag. You know, I just got this swag. Sometimes I just be like, you know, in my songs. I think "Do It Again" that I did. We wrote "Do It Again." "Do It Again" is off the Queen Alone album. And that song was originally wrote for Lee Fields, but we had so many songs that we had wrote for Faithful Man album that we just kept that one particular song. And it's the part where it breaks down with the horns, and I in the crowd, I just go, "Woo Tang, woo!" And the crowd, they love it. It has nothing to do with Wu Tang, but it sounds so Wu Tangish to me, and I love it. I just love it.
That's amazing. And on the top of Queen Alone, I wanted to jump back to that too, because that's the first album. That's the first connection I had with you. I heard Guilty, and obviously like that song was like the first song. I was like, oh my God, I've never heard anything like this in my life. And
Oh.
it's just such an amazingly beautiful and just has so much like depth to it. But then I listened through that whole album, and it's just like every single song is just so soulful and beautiful. And I'm curious, like, as you're talking about Piece of Me and your writing process being so, oriented to this new chapter in your life and about your daughter, and I'm curious, like, where were you at for Queen Alone when you were working on that album? I think 2016 was it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just curious, like, where you were at then, because I think that's I know, like, at least for me, that was really like a point where I got connected to your music, so.
I think thinking about it now, I think it was more exception. I wanted to be accepted with just everything that I have done in my journey, and coming off of the Lady album with Terry Walker, I think I wanted to be accepted, and I think I was trying to find my way lyrically and what I wanted to do, because that album that we had done together was so retro. And so we tried to put the R&B and the swag back into it to get me back to where I started. And so I think I wanted to be accepted when I was writing that Queen Alone album. I had no idea which way I was going. I just wanted to write songs where it felt good to me, for me to accept where I was genuinely as a new artist on Big Crown Records. So I think I wasn't trying to make it a statement piece or to be vulnerable. I just think I wanted to be accepted as who I was as an artist, and to write things that people understood about me. I think that's what I was trying to do with Queen Alone. trying to get back to hip hop. That's what I was trying to do with Queen Alone album.
Yeah. I know also like in kind of in terms of that kind of aim for acceptance, there's also still that kind of like really personal moment in it. And I know that there's kind of these themes of like success, but also especially with the song Guilt, like guilt literally, and kind of incarceration and things like that. And I think that such a good job of DJ Futterstomp was mentioning like stylistic transitions and like the way that you can kind of mesh so much together. But I think with the themes that are in the songs, you also are able to kind of touch on really heavy topics that, but also at the same kind of like a celebration and kind of an effort put towards acceptance of so many things. And I think that's just like part of what makes that album, especially since it's your first album on or on the new record, or sorry, the new label, like so, I don't know, just so you can really sense the meaning in it, like with all of your work.
Thank you. Thank you. And Queen Alone, I had my brother was going through so much during that time. I didn't want it to be totally about that, but I had to pay homage to his situation and for those who had been in a situation anything close to that, because it just ripped me apart inside. And I know I was supposed to be writing that album, but that situation was so strong inside of me. I didn't want that. And if even if that feeling was so strong, it came across very well, because it was very what's the word I want to use? It was detrimental that I pay homage to his situation, because like I said, he was going through so many things that I know the world understands. Some people don't like to talk about it, but I had to talk about it because I had a platform, and so I needed to release that into the world, to let people know you're not alone. My family, we've suffered with, not the loss, but for us it was a loss because he had got, locked up in prison, and that was tough for us. And so I didn't want the album to be kind of, sad, but that one song, it we did two versions of it, and so it was hard. It was a hard version, and then it was like a laid back version of it. So, and I think both of the versions kind of got out what I was trying to say in a great way,
Yeah, there's the are you referring to the, is it like the JFK mix? Is that the other one? Because I had only heard the original version, and obviously, like as you're saying, like it's obviously like sad in it's obviously sad in the themes and the topics, but it feels so like just cathartic and just really warm at the same time, and being able to like operate on those different levels and express yourself that way is just like so
I got chill. I got hives talking about it. I got hives
impressive.
because that when I remember just being in New York and it was snowing and I was in an Airbnb and I had the track. I was listening to the production in the Airbnb, looking out the window, and I was just thinking of my brother. I was like, I know he's uncomfortable, and I was in New York living my best life, working on an album, walking up and down the street, shopping, doing what I, and I just felt so like just crappy that he was in this situation, and I didn't know how to express it, and I just started belting out lyrics, and I was like, I went to the studio, I was like, I got it, I got it, and I just started singing, and then we did that version, the first, the JFK, I think that was the first one, and then we did the harder one. I really liked the one that came out, that you, I really liked the way that one hit, but the first one was kind of more, lethargic, like you said, but yeah, I just had to get those emotions out. I had to.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful song.
It is, yeah.
Thank you.
I think something that's, this is somewhat related, but when we broadcast on FM radio, like I've gotten calls from people who are incarcerated who don't have internet access and tune into the radio. And I think like
Oh, wow.
music can be something that connects so many people and is so healing for so many people. And it's so, I think, like you said, it's taboo, it's stigmatized, but I think to kind of like recognize and uplift people who are going through struggles and like use music to do that, especially for us maybe it's through radio, and for you it's through like your own music that you create, but I think it can be really so healing, and so it's so cool to see the process behind that and the intention that goes into so many things that really help so many people, and yeah, I just think it's r really special.
We have to heal the world. One song at a time, one song at a time. That's my thing. I love to. Ever since I was little, I would just get up there. I didn't know I wanted to sing. I just know my dad used to sing in the church choir. I got my first song in the church choir when I was 9 years old. And I
Wow.
remember being in out being in the pew in the audience, and they all the kids were standing around, and they were like, "Who wants to lead a song?" And my little friend, she pulled my arm up, and I was like, "She's like, Nicole wants to, Nicole wants to." And they gave me the song, and the song was called "I Might as Well Think Big If I'm Going to Think at All." And I went up there and I sung that song, and the same night I forgot all the words. I was like, somebody help me, please, because I was a kid, but that was the name of my first song that I ever sung in church. It was called "I Might as Well Think Big," and I've been thinking big ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to see how your career has bloomed. I know, like I mentioned earlier, you opened NPR Tiny Desk's Black History Month, like Tiny Desk concerts, and I was like, it's funny because like I guess now I a little bit do, but like I don't really know you personally. I just we love your music, and like I love listening to it, and I kind of know how much thought goes into it just kind of from listening. But till I was almost proud. I was like, this is what you deserve, because to
Oh.
you being recognized for like how prolific I feel that you are, it was just so cool to see. Of course, like so many of the collaborations you've done are really, really so monumental, but yeah, it was just really cool to see something that is like so accessible. And then I also know that recently, on What's in My Bag, the Amoeba videos, like
Oh, yeah.
Bill Doug chose you, and I was like, oh my God, because I've seen Built to Spill perform in Santa Cruz, I think twice last
Yeah,
year.
they come through Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Come through Santa Cruz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and to see Doug choose Lady Ray, I was like, yes, like even though
Yes.
I love their music, I'm sure they have a good t music taste, and of course it's Lady Ray. It just makes so much sense.
Oh,
I thought it
you're gonna
was
make me cry. You're gonna make me cry over here. It feels good to be recognized for all the, dedication and sacrifice. I've put a lot of sacrifice and hard work over the years. A lot of people, my fans, my real true fans, they know. But like you were saying, when you stumbled across Nicole Ray, a lot of people will come to my concerts with a friend, and after the show, they would be like, "You look familiar. You sound familiar." And they're like, "You Nicole Ray?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Oh my God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was you. You're Lady Ray. Lady Ray is Nicole Ray." And I'm like, "Yeah, connect the dots. It's me." And I think
It's
it's so cute.
awesome.
It's so awesome to see that they're just in awe that it's me. And that I'm still going, and they love the old stuff, and they love the new stuff. So I
Totally.
was like, my set isn't long enough. I need like a Beyonce 2 hour, 3 hour
Back
concert to do
to
all of
back.
my songs.
Even
Yeah.
pull it out at Roaring Campground.
Yeah.
I also saw, I've only seen this on posters. I haven't seen it online yet, but are you playing at Moe's Alley in Santa Cruz in August as well?
I'm playing. No, I don't think so. I
Okay.
don't think so.
I mean,
I don't
I'll get it
know.
out of the interview. But I just saw like on a poster that Folkia had been putting up.
Oh,
But
folk, yeah. I think so.
yeah.
If it's folk, yeah. If it's folk, yeah.
Oh, okay.
In
Well,
August, yeah.
I'll
Yeah,
double
I think
check that.
so.
Yeah, when I saw another Santa Cruz show, I was like, oh, I'm for sure going to that as well. But all
Okay.
<awful.
Have you been through Santa Cruz before? We saw something that said you spent time in Salinas at some point.
laughs> Yeah, but I was a baby. But
Okay.
I haven't in a while. Yeah. So
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see how things are and see the
Yeah.
area. I haven't been there in years. When I was doing Make It Hot, I was there many years ago. So it's been some time. So
Yeah.
yeah.
It's gonna be so funny. You were just describing to us how hot Atlanta is right now, and it's kind of
It's
like a
so
foggy
cold
day.
here.
You said it's foggy?
Cold,
It's
yeah.
foggy. Yeah, it's
It's
always foggy.
cold. Yeah.
Why is it cold?
I don't know. Hopefully it'll warm up. Maybe
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
coming here
I'm
will
gonna bring so I'm gonna bring the heat, baby. Don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
And
bring it.
the place that you're playing at, the Roaring Camp Railroad, I'm so excited to see you perform there. Do you know if it's gonna be outdoors or are they gonna put in
I
one of
believe
the
it.
barns there
I
or something?
believe it's gonna be. I believe it's gonna be outside.
Okay, that's gonna be so
It's
cool.
gonna be so beautiful.
Yeah. We're gonna have plenty of waters. Coconut waters on the stage to hydrate.
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing the heat. I hope it's warm.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we'll
I'm
keep
sure it'll
our
be
fingers
warmer by
crossed.
then too.
Yeah, and we're about to celebrate my daughter's 5th birthday next weekend. She's doing it at the water park, and she has a Little Mermaid theme. We took her to see Little Mermaid, so her whole theme is Little Mermaid. It's gonna be so beautiful, and then she's gonna go away for the summer with her grandparents. So, and we're gonna try and get her to come middle of the tour. So hopefully, her and her dad can come and see some of the tour before I do the Big Crown showcase. So I always look forward to her coming out to see me. She loves it. She came out to a show here in Atlanta and got on the stage and did her part. She said, "Mom, is that a star?" And my dad did his part, but he forgot his words. So he got he was shell shocked on stage, and then my daughter came out. She's 4. She said her little words and got off the stage. It was so cute. It was
That's
so cute. So I'm looking forward to her coming out to see some shows.
it's so cool to hear how you were such a young artist, like being encouraged and to kind of collaborate and get involved, and how, you're able to kind of make that happen with your family. And I just think, bringing that community and family aspect in everything, and that support and that joy is just so evident in your work. I actually, this is a funny thing I wrote in our notes that, but we have another DJ here who has told me many times that they want Through It All to be played at their wedding,
Oh.
and she wanted me to tell you that Through It All is better than the entire Beatles
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And it
discography.
was like I was like told them,
Yeah.
I was like, I'm finally like we're interviewing Lady Ray, and they were like, you gotta tell her that it's better.
Oh, tell her I love her. I love her. I gotta meet her.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
so funny, and like, it's so impossible to compare, but I feel like you just are so prolific in this like massive way, and yeah, it's just really been great to like see your
Oh.
awesome. I'm just so excited to like be at the show and at Rock, and
Yay.
also just like see you, and hear and kind of consume the right word, just experience like the other stuff that you
Right.
on and see
Yeah.
what
It's
comes.
experience. It's experience. Yeah.
The other artists there too. It's just gonna be cool.
And I wish I
Yeah,
could
it's
see
gonna be.
Crown show because I love like L. Michael's Affair and Lee Field.
Oh, it's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good. I'm telling you. But it's gonna be a lot of footage that's gonna be out there. We'll make sure we get something good for you to see.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. I don't think we
But this has
have
been
anything else.
so really great talking to you. Like we, when I'll have like we were the people who kind of reached out, but like there are masses behind us of KZSC DJs who are like so looking forward to this, and
Oh, I know.
telling me I do like the tabling setup, and we're gonna have like a table at the show, and they're like, "I want a table. Let me come to
Oh,
the."
yes.
And when you're here, if you
Gonna
want
be
to check
good.
out the radio station and take a look there.
I'm gonna come. I will for sure.
Yeah.
Totally. You're
Oh,
so
thank you guys. You guys are so awesome, chill and cool. I love your vibrations. Yeah, I'm gonna have the rest of my day. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome.
Can I
Oh,
take a
yes.
quick picture?
Yes. Let me get my braids down a little bit for you.
Yeah,
Okay. Just let us know.
just some
Awesome.
dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Okay.
I will. Well, you guys enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you
Take
so
care.
much. Pleasure talking to
Bye
you.
bye.